You're listening to the Positive Thinpack Podcast.
My name is Aiden. I'm a public speaker, a business consultant, a corporate trainer, and a professional improviser.
And I'm Marjorie.
And we've been friends for 14 years. This podcast is an experiment.
Where we talk about me trying every diet program under the sun and the moon and who knows where else.
The Positive ThinPack podcast is proudly sponsored by The Art of Change, Skills for Life. Change is inevitable. Progress is not. You make the difference. To learn more, visit artofchange.com. In this episode, we discuss whether or not the Brazilian diet gets a pass or a fail. We cover next steps, and in the in-between, we talk about triggers. So, hello, and welcome to episode 3 of season 2, Marjorie.
Yes, welcome.
It's also a couple of weeks into the new year.
It is. January is almost over. Can you believe that?
No. It's stupid.
A couple of more weeks and you will be another year older.
Boo. Yeah. No, thank you. I would like to continue to get younger, please. How are you feeling today?
Not gonna lie, pain level's pretty high. Super depressed and anxious for no reason at all. But otherwise, okay. I'm on the right side of the ground, and that's the thing.
I appreciate your forced optimism. This morning we went and had a visit with Eric's grandmother, who is in bad shape and she's not in as bad a shape as it gets. She's in better shape than she wants to be in, if that makes sense. Yeah. But yeah, she's not hiding that she's like, I don't want to be here. This isn't fun. This part of life is no fun. All the fun stuff stops. Food tastes bad. I can't get comfortable. This is terrible. And then we get in the elevator and one of her friends gets in the elevator at the same time. And I just got real quiet. And Eric's grandma says to this woman, she goes, how are you feeling? How's it going? And this woman, who is over 100 years old, says, I'm doing great. Except the parts that hurt.
Right. Yeah, that's how I feel.
I was like, that is, gotta appreciate that forced optimism.
Yeah. So, you know.
But so you're not like, if we're being honest, you're not like super sunny. Everything is awesome. Here we are. It's another amazing day in diet town. It's not like that.
No. I am trying not to cry all the time.
Well, maybe we'll have a vulnerable moment for our listeners to enjoy, because yes. I am also in a bit of a state today. I don't know if that's coming through in my tone, but I am so tired that I'm like a little bit crabby baby today. So we'll just see. This might be a punchy episode, or it might be a sad episode, or we don't really know until we get into it. But
we'll just, or we're maybe just gonna ride. You'll be punchy and I'll be sad.
We're just going to ride this wave and see where it takes us.
Yeah, the punchy and sad show.
I don't know about you, but that cheered me up a little bit. So one thing we did want to say to everybody is, if you aren't already following our Instagram, what on earth is stopping you? Because we are posting like crazy. And by we, I mean you, Marjorie.
I'm trying, man. I'm one of those people now that's taking pictures of all my food.
I have to say, It's a good, I mean, I don't know how interesting or not interesting it is for people to see what you're eating without the full story, but you discovered this trick of telling stories using hashtags, which I find delightful.
Well, I'm glad you find it delightful. It's actually a lot more fun to do when I use the hashtags as stories rather than try to figure out the multitude of hashtags I need to include.
Yeah, I love that. So, yeah, so everyone should tune into our Instagram stories.
Hashtag and stories.
Hashtag the journey is a hashtag story. Yes. I should also tell you all that I'm recording from my home office today, which means the cats have free access to make noise in the background. And one of my cats is just going to town on a cat toy. So I don't know if that's coming through this mic or not, but
I'm not hearing it, but that's awesome.
Let's just make a lot of space in our hearts for some weird background noises.
True.
Yeah. So let's see. Theoretically, you have completed the Brazilian diet commitment that you made, but let's tell everybody what really happened. If people are following on Instagram, they already know.
Yeah. If by completed you mean it was freaking killing me, but I did it for 2 days, almost three, and then I started to get up to go to the bathroom. And I got dizzy and fainty, and I thought, oh, hell's to the no. And then I ate a Schlotzky sandwich.
Did that help?
Well, I chose the Schlotzky sandwich. I mean, not to be like negative or anything, and please don't sue us, but I always think of it as like a delicious laxative.
And oh, good Lord.
I know. And so I thought perhaps, you know, it would not stick to me as bad. So, it helped. I felt normal.
Is that the same as making a healthy choice? I can't tell. It doesn't feel the same.
Well, so this was the other problem with this was actually the Brazilian diet was kind of triggering for me, I'll be honest, because. So there have been two times in my life, and actually from things I've read, this probably, you know, started all my problems. I mean, I was an overweight kid and everything, but I was mostly muscle for a long time. I was just kind of thick, you know, and I had a booty. And then when I was 13... Yeah, mm-hmm. When I was 13, the summer before eighth grade, and then again when I was 15, I was probably fully anorexic. Yeah, I was restricting to the point that I was not eating at all. The summer before eighth grade, I went to a day camp that, you know, was in Florence, Texas, and it was hot, and I drank a lot of water, and I literally most days ate like 2 hot dog weenies, and that was it. And I lost 45 pounds in like 6 weeks.
And I think everybody knows that 2 weenies does not a meal make.
It does not a meal make, does not a day make. It was like a day. And I would just, every time I was hungry, I would just drink like crazy amounts of water.
I'm sure there are some girls in their 20s who are like, 2 weenies makes for a hot day.
Right.
You know what I mean.
Anyway, and I mean, and my dad was like so proud of me. And, you know, every time he'd see me pack this minuscule lunch, it was like, oh, you're doing great. And we wouldn't really eat dinner. And it was just, I mean, I was absolutely fully anorexic, and I was being, you know, rewarded. I mean, for once in my life, people were proud of me. And like I say, I lost 45 pounds in like 6 weeks. And I don't know. I felt good, but then I didn't. And then I started putting on weight once I started eating like a normal person again. And then when I was 15, I remember I got all the way down to like a size 8, and I don't know why I stopped it, but I was restricting pretty hard. Lunch was usually just a bag of lettuce, no dressing. And not a big bag of lettuce either.
And so I guess what I'm hearing you say, just to see if I can follow this train of thought.
So I'm sorry, but the Brazilian diet reminded me of that. It felt like I was restricting. I was hungry like I had been back then. And all I was getting from people around me was like, you go, you can do this. This is great. You're awesome. When I didn't feel awesome, I felt like, you know, I was in that mindset again, that really crazy, you know, obsessive, you know, have to put up with hunger. I mean, mm-hmm. and it was just like clawing at me. And like I say, it got to the point where I got dizzy and I was like, nah.
So, I mean, I feel like this was predictable, right? Like reading the list of stuff, like we knew this was going to go this way, right?
Well, sort of, kind of, but I honestly didn't think I was going to feel like I was 15 again. You know,
gotcha. You expected to feel bad, but you didn't expect it to like tap into all these terrible memories.
Yes. Yeah. No, I expected to feel bad. And I thought it's only a week. I can feel bad for a week. And, you know, I thought that that's probably what would happen, that I wouldn't feel great, but, you know, I would lose quickly. And it was only a week. So I knew anything for a week, you know?
Right. Except for this. It turns out this is a terrible plan to stay on for a week. So no offense to the creators of this nightmare plan, but we're not recommending it to any of our listeners.
No, not unless you two want to feel like a 15-year-old anorexic girl.
Which, I mean, different strokes for different folks. I would never want to feel that way or advocate for anyone to feel that way in a million years, but there's all kinds of disordered thinking, and who am I to judge?
Yeah, I guess true. For me, it was really, really bad.
Sounds horrible. It sounds really horrible. But I will say, there was something that I noticed on Instagram, which was that every time you cooked a protein in your Hot Logic, the internet got excited.
Oh, I did. You know, I only recently discovered that. And I have to tell you, that is one of the main positives that came out of this experience, is I freaking love cooking in my hot, like cooking from raw. I've heated up things and I've heated up frozen dinners in my Hot Logic, but man, it like feels like I accomplished something when I cook in it. I don't know why, but it does.
I feel like we really need Hot Logic to get in touch with us and be an official sponsor of this podcast for the amount of deep, deep love and appreciation and joy you receive and give with that little tiny machine.
Well, and not only that, I can tell you that I am personally responsible probably for selling like a dozen of them, because let me tell you how I tell literally everybody I talk to about food and diet and weight loss how much I love Hot Logic. And I know even like the counselor that I was talking to through my insurance company, she was like, that's what everybody's getting for Christmas. Me and my husband bought one after you talked about it, and they're awesome. And my aunt has two, another aunt has one, a cousin we bought one for, my coworker loves hers. Like, I'm telling you, they've probably gotten a lot of business out of me.
I can't wait to get a hold. If somebody listening knows somebody who works for Hot Logic, please help us get in touch with them, because clearly there's a relationship to be had here. So are there any successes or like positive things that came out of this nightmare diet experience for you?
Well, like I say, that was one of them, is that, you know, I proved that I can cook raw meat in my Hot Logic. Another one was that I proved that it doesn't take a very long time to just grab a bunch of random stuff and put it in my lunch bag and go. And I proved to myself that I can bring a lunch, and it doesn't have to be a frozen dinner. And I liked that.
Good. That sounds positive.
Yeah, that was pretty positive.
Awesome.
It was news because I tend to be kind of an all or nothing. And yeah. And it was just like, oh, I get tired of frozen dinners and I don't want to do something. But now, you know, and even like Friday, I brought like literally I was running so late. I just stuck the rest of the half a loaf of bread in my bag and a jar of peanut butter.
I used to live on that. Well, only for me, it would be a bag of tortillas.
Yeah, my like go-to like cheap food of choice is bean and cheese tacos. I used to live on those.
Yeah, can't beat a bean and cheese taco.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And these days my go-to is a big salad.
Oh, and then I discovered something yesterday.
What?
You know what it is? Tiny is it a big salad? Tacos are back.
Oh, mother.
I know. They're trying to kill me.
They're like the sirens singing you into the cliff ahead.
Oh, they're so good.
Sheezle Pete.
Plus, they're super
food
cheap.
Marketers.
I know.
It's too bad our podcast is not focused on, you know,
all like, the delicious fast foods of the world. Yes.
Yeah. Like if your goal was the opposite of your current goal, your
right.
goal was to try and gain 250 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
It just feels like, I mean, I feel like we'd have all kinds of sponsors already.
Oh my God.
Maybe not. Maybe, you know, that would be really intriguing. I wonder what they'd do. Like Taco Bell would be like, no way. We're definitely not touching that with a 10-foot pole or whatever. Or they'd be like, yeah, sure. We'll sponsor you with our 7-layer burrito or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a random example. Taco Bell, I am not trying to call you out specifically. I just was pulling on a random example and that's a
plus
legal disclaimer.
I live in Texas. I mostly wouldn't do Taco Bell. It would be Taco Cabana.
Taco Cabana. Well, I highly advise you stay clear of those, but you're a grown person. You're gonna do what you want.
I already did the tiny tacos. I'm sorry.
See what I mean? Which, you know, just one more piece of evidence for how I am not qualified as a weight loss coach, a nutritionist, a doctor, a therapist, or any of those things. Just a person with a sense of humor. It's all I got going for me.
That's a lot.
Thank you.
It's a whole lot these days.
So I feel like there was another side effect of doing this Brazilian diet, which I feel like putting your body into starvation mode for a few days took its emotional toll on you, and probably bringing back those 15-year-old memories contributed. But I feel like just knowing some of the conversations that we had this week, there was that consequence.
Yeah, although I have to tell you, this mood of mine's been going on a lot longer than the Brazilian diet. So I can't really, yeah. I have a hard time really holding it responsible. In fact, I think most responsible is that I probably, if I were to get my TSH test done, my thyroid stimulating hormone, I'm sure it's super high right now. And because I had gotten out of my routine and off my meds and, you know, like a schizophrenic, I feel fine. I don't need it. And when I'm hypothyroid, I'm super depressed. In fact, I think that's the only times I've actually literally been suicidal is, you know, when I don't have enough medication. So anyway, so that's, and unfortunately, I let it get really bad this time. And when you start taking it, it's not something that gets fixed quickly. It usually takes a month or two to kind of start kicking in. So I think that is more responsible. Do I think the Brazilian diet helped any? Hell no. I really don't. I think I was already in this hypothyroid state, and I think that it just freaked my system out more.
Maybe this is a good time to talk about why we're doing the podcast to begin with. I mean, we talked about it a lot in season one, and we kind of touched on it during the resolution episode. But like, I feel like maybe it's not obvious. I feel like if people aren't listening and they're just looking at Instagram, for example, maybe they don't get it.
Yeah. So, I guess one of the main reasons is because I have, as a very, very large person, I need to lose a lot of weight. And I have problems with accountability. I have problems with, you know, wanting, like, I want to do things all day, but actually doing them. And so this helps me. The other thing is as I was kind of looking for inspiration or resources, I was finding a lot of, you know, the before and, you know, and right now, like, there's a big body positivity movement going, and I think that's great. And I love that. But by the same token, I'm like in pain, like, all the friggin' time, a physical pain. And I do believe it's largely from my weight. And so, while I do believe that there are people that are very large and very healthy otherwise, and actually my doctor says I'm pretty healthy otherwise, I don't have the traditional diseases one would see in an obese person. But I'm in pain. My arthritis is just constantly flaring up. And I know in my heart of hearts, if I lost weight, that would lessen.
What do you say to people who are like, you know, I have suffered from disordered eating in my past, and listening to you go on fad diets is triggering for me. What do you say to somebody who says something like that?
Well, the only instance that I encountered recently, I didn't say anything. There were things I wanted to say, but I didn't say anything. But I guess the way I feel is, yeah, hello. I'm raising my hand. I'm one of those that's triggered by that. And I'm trying to show the lengths that we go to lose weight. You know, I think it's so easy to talk about fat people. It's like the last socially acceptable thing to make fun of somebody about, to ridicule somebody, to just really, you know, I mean, I realize that there are, you know, horrible people that believe that it's okay to say racist things. But I think by and large, society knows that that's not okay. At least I know it's not okay. And most of the people I talk to, maybe I'm just in a weird world. I don't know. And I can't speak for anybody else's struggle. But I do know that people publicly dump on fat people all the freaking time. And, you know, and so while I understand the body positivity movement and it's great, and I don't know. I just know that I grew up at a time where you were supposed to be as thin as possible all the time, where it was some shortcoming to be fat. And I am not super accepting of me. I also pretty much apologize for my existence, like, all the time.
Oh, Marjorie, I don't want you to apologize for your existence. I think your existence has a lot of value.
I don't want to trigger anybody.
You mean just because you're big?
Yeah. I mean, that's pun intended, a large part of it. but
no. She chases away the sadness with a terrible pun.
Right. it's what I do. No, I don't know how to explain it. I just know that I need to lose weight. I know there's people out there. I know that a lot of the people that you see out there are like, you don't see the middle part. You see the beginning and you see the end, and you don't see how freaking hard it is. You don't see how you can make some strides and lose some weight, and then you have a conversation with somebody that's like a doctor who's like, you need to get this off now. Here's a business card for a bariatric surgeon. Like, that's just gonna fix everything. Right. You know, I don't know how to explain. I think I'm just trying to humanize the struggle, and I think try to get people to see that there's all kinds of reasons that people are overweight, and it's not as simple as putting down the cheeseburger. And sometimes when you try really hard to put down the cheeseburger, you screw yourself up even more and you have two cheeseburgers.
Yeah. And I feel like there's been this really interesting debate just in my friend's collection of friends on Facebook really recently about this idea of triggering. I had one friend who was really struggling with some health issues, post something about their recent triumph. They had lost X number of pounds and they were now able to do X, Y, and Z activity. And then I immediately saw another friend who posted something that was like, hey, just a reminder that when you post about your diet stuff, you are triggering those of us who are recovering from eating disorders. And then somebody else who was like, I used to, and these are all unrelated posts, by the way. Somebody else who was like, I used to try and fit a certain mindset around what bodies should look like and feel like and be shaped like, and now I've given up that struggle and I've never felt better. And it's just, to me, it's interesting, all of these posts about health, and the one that sticks out for me is the one that says, hey, you talking about your life is triggering for me in my own life. And I just want to take a moment to address that, and I feel a personal need to share a very unpopular opinion, I think, which is, I don't think it should be someone's responsibility to take care of somebody else's mental health. Like, you know, the whole thing of posting your progress, posting your things that you're proud of for those people who have gone through any kind of health struggle of any kind. It's about trying to re-engage with what's motivating, trying to stay healthy, trying to get healthy, and to have the additional burden of worrying if that's going to be injurious to somebody else is, to me, that's bonkers. It's totally outrageous. It's like, you know, like I think about you and this recent conversation where someone was like, I think this is triggering. And you're like, I'm just trying to survive right now. You know, it's like, you've got enough on your mental plate. You don't need to take on somebody else's possible BS. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's, I have to be honest, you know, until I listened to a podcast that started me on the whole, you know, what is now my trying to address my problems with EMDR, I really didn't understand what triggering meant. Now, I understand what you're saying, because I could never, you know, so basically I listened to this American Life. I listened to an episode about a kid that actually doesn't live super far away from me that went through, you know, a similar thing where he had a coach who started telling him all kinds of religious things, and, you know, he struggled with his beliefs, and that was just like, it was like blinding flash of realization to me when the kid starts talking about how he went to school and he was under the bed and he was so scared. And I'm like, man, I've been there. Like, I've been that scared. And just the weird crap I used to do before I told my parents about it. And And it was triggering for me. And until I experienced it, I just thought that was a bunch of BS when people would talk about being triggered. I was just like, oh, y'all are a bunch of little snowflakes. But, you know, and toughen up and everything. But I experienced it and I was triggered. But at the same time, I think you're right, Aiden. I would never say that This American Life should never, you know, have said anything, or even that they should warn people that it could be triggering, even though I'm sure they did. Because, I mean, come on. They're just putting stuff out in the world. They're not, you know, it's up to me whether or not I want to listen to it or whether or not I want to seek it out. Mm-hmm. Just because it exists doesn't mean that, you know, that it's triggering and you should stop it. And, yeah. I know that for me, in the state of mind I'm in right now, it was very, when that happened to me recently, and it was very public, and it was a public clackback, somebody in a group that I'm in asked for recommendations for podcasts, and one of the categories that she asked for was self-help. I thought that's what this was self-help. Maybe I'm just trying to help myself and that's why.
Maybe that's a different category. There's self-help and then there's help self.
Right. I don't know, but I just know pretty quickly after I posted, you know, because I guess I feel too like I'm, if I don't believe in my own product, right, then what am I even doing? And so it was like, well, you know, I'm going to shamelessly self-promote because, like I say, I feel that obligation. I feel like if I believe in what we're doing, then the least I can do is when somebody asks for a recommendation for a self-help pod, you know what I mean? Like, here, right. Here you go.
You know, maybe if we had called it the during instead of positive thin pact, maybe that would be different.
I feel like that was it. Cause I don't feel like she even looked at the description, looked at anything but the title. And then it was like this public, you know, you need to take that down right now. You know, that's really triggering for people with restricting issues. And I'm thinking, hello, that's me. That's what this is about. It's about, you know, finding right. triggers everywhere and resulting in you freaking not eating well.
I mean, this is the thing though that I think that you may have to face as we continue going in a really uncomfortable way. So let's fast forward in time. Let's say you find something that's extremely successful for you and you shed 150 pounds and I guarantee you'll be saying things like you hear other people saying about, like, if I can do it, you can do it, that all of that stuff. Because if that happens for you, you'll be thrilled about it. You know what I mean? And yeah. I guarantee you people are going to come after you harder. I guarantee you people are going to be like, your success is triggering my ED. You right. know, my disordered thinking, you're waving your success around in my face and it's not that easy. And it won't matter that you have struggled for as long as you have. So I feel like, you know, it's an unpopular opinion right now to say people need to take responsibility for their own mental health. If you are triggered, you should seek help, which you did. If you find everything that people are saying about a particular topic to be uncomfortable because of your relationship with it, then you should make a choice about whether or not to consume that information. And otherwise, it's like, can we all just like have enough on our own plate without worrying about everybody? And I know this might seem oversimplified and naive, and this is clearly not a well articulated thought. I didn't script this, but like, I at this moment in time, I'm just like, quit. Hey, world, quit holding me responsible as an individual who's trying to keep my own life together. Quit holding me responsible for how you are failing to hold your life together.
You know, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I go back to my mantra, I guess, or my thing that's always in the back of my head, that I truly believe that every single person on earth no matter if they're the best person in the world or the worst person in the world, is just doing the best they can with what they have.
Absolutely.
We all have different struggles. We all have different challenges that were put in our way. And we were all given different tools to deal with them. And some of us are far better than others at using those tools. Mm-hmm. And at overcoming those challenges. And I will be the first to say, I'm not that great at it. I'm slow at it. Sometimes it, you know, what do they say? The definition of insanity is trying to do the same thing over and over and expecting different outcomes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's me. Like, to a T, it takes me several different tries before I finally am like, okay, I gotta pick another way. So I think if we all just kept that in the back of our minds before we decide to clap back at somebody and do it hard, I think we need to just understand we're all just doing the best we can with what we have.
I don't think I could have said that better if I tried, Marjorie. That's really well said. So at this moment, I think we should shift gears. And I think
you mean you don't want to hear me cry anymore?
I mean, you know, if you want to, I will stand by.
Aw.
I will.
Did I ever tell you you're my hero? You're everything I would want to be.
Oh man, if only I wasn't so making up songs all the time, I would be able to pull lyrics out. But like, I haven't listened to other songs in such a long time because I'm currently in an improvised musical. All I'm doing is making up my own lyrics. I'm like, what would be good right now comedically is if I could quote a song, but I can't. But here's what I thought we could do for an improv game today. I thought it would be fun to, and this is tongue in cheek, but these are gentle suggestions or not so gentle suggestions for people who are jumping to defend not real triggers. You know what I mean? There's a difference. Like there's actual triggers in which you need to go seek help because now you are triggered into your trauma. And then there's the thing where people are like, I don't like it, so I'm going to say I'm triggered. That is also a thing that happens.
And you need to stop the thing you're doing because I don't like it.
Yes. I disrespectfully request that you immediately halt all of this discomfort for me, please. So I was thinking it would be fun to address that category with some helpful suggestions of what they might say other than that is a trigger. You should stop doing it. What else might they say? And I thought we could just spitball a few quick ideas of other things people might say. For example, I completely disagree with you, so I'm going to stop responding.
Ew.
Like that might be something people could say.
That's so mature sounding.
Yeah, it's kind of boring. I mean, they could also say, how about a hot steaming cup of shut the bleep up?
Or I'm rubber, you're glue.
Oh, that's a classic.
Yeah.
Or they could be like, yeah, so let's set the stage. We'll set the stage. So this is for people who they start listening to Positive Impact Podcast and they go, your journey is making me question my own journey. Instead of telling us off, here's what they could say. They could say, gosh, you're brave.
They could say, you make me want to go get the help I need.
Oh, that's very good. They could say, my journey is also hard. We're twinsies.
Oh, I like that one. they could say, you mean I'm not the only one struggling in this world?
Yeah, they could say, I wish my doctor listened to this podcast because then they'd understand me better.
Ew. They could say, I'm out.
They could.
But don't do that. No, please. Tell your friends. Don't say I'm out. I was triggered by my suggestion.
Here's one. They could say, since your journey's so hard, here are some people I suggest you have as guests on your podcast, and here's how you get in touch with them.
Ooh. I like that. Or
that'd be cool.
They could even say, here's what worked for me to get out of that.
Oh, that would be good. I would love it if people would leave those kinds of comments for us, actually. I think that, you know, it's an interesting conversation that you and I have for the two of us. We are both interested in what we're talking about. So, you know, that's interesting. But I do think that there are other people who also have interesting thoughts that are triggered, pun intended, by these conversations. And we would love to hear those. So if you are having thoughts about what worked for you or what might be an interesting thing to try, or if you've been wanting to try a particular eating plan, but you've been afraid and you'd like us to guinea pig it here first.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'm
we
all
are willing
for that
to
one.
Do that.
As long as it does not involve tomatoes, I'm in. It's my only caveat. I refuse to eat a tomato, even for you.
I know. I keep sending you that all tomato diet. You just keep telling me that it's triggering, and I don't know what to
do. I love y'all, but not that much.
So, yeah, I would love it. So, you know, people, you can reach us at our email address if you want, positivethinpact@gmail.com. You can hit up our anchor.fm page and leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear your success stories. We would love to hear your failure stories if you're feeling vulnerable. And we would be super open to any suggestions that you have for stuff that we might try and people who you'd like to hear interviewed. So yeah, keep all that in mind. So now let's talk about what comes next. We're definitely not doing the Brazilian diet plan anymore.
Oh, H to the N, no. yeah. So I am continuing with TOPS. I'll be honest, the ones after work are just, they're late. They're just so late. And it's a late night for me. And I am.
So what you're trying to say is they're late.
They're late. They're so late. and there's not that many of them around me. And there's just, yeah, they're either late at night or, you know, they're during the week. There's none on the weekends. I don't know why. Cause I could totally get into a weekend, but, anyway, so I was going to do an online, but then, so this, I had my mind all made up. I'm going to be online only for a while. And then yesterday, one of the ladies from the meeting that I attended a couple of weeks ago that we talked about called me. So after that meeting, I had emailed them because I think I said that that the website was off by about 100 pounds on their maximum scale weight. And so I was too heavy for their scale. And it was humiliating in the moment, but they were so nice that I stayed. And I was glad I did. But it was a late night. anyway. Well, I just told him that, you know, everybody was super great and I'm glad I stayed, but it was really humiliating in the moment. And it would have been nice if the website had been updated because I probably would have held off until I could fit on their scale. And, I don't know if she got it. Like I say, I really just wanted the website updated. And I, you know, was going to try to get down to where I was on their scale and then maybe think about going back. And so she reached out and said that they've been talking about it, about what to do, because they missed me at last week's meeting, which was so cute. I know. It was so sweet. And that that they want to come up with a plan for me to be able to come, and that they want me to go to their convention in May, and that they want me to come to this week's meeting, and two of them have reached out. And
how does that feel?
It was so sweet. I mean, like I say, I had just about decided that I really wasn't going to go for a while. And I didn't feel like I had, you know, a terrible amount of things in common with them. We're just at different stages of our lives. And although they were also firmly raised with this, you know, diet culture. True. that thankfully we're getting away from, but still, anyway, and so it's just, I don't know. I'm going to go on Tuesday.
Yay.
And I lost 10 pounds on the Brazilian diet, promptly gained back 3. So I'm still 7 pounds down mm-hmm. from the Brazilian diet. So I'm going to start. Tops has a 28-day plan. I'm going to start that. I don't know if I'm going to be able to start it this week, but I am going to eat healthier this week and not just eat fast food. I will say dinners are really hard for me just because I get home and I want to have already eaten by the time I get home. And so I don't know. I'm still noodling about solutions for that.
It's probably going to be some kind of food prep on Sunday solutions. And, you know, everything goes into the freezer or refrigerator container. So it's all ready to go and you just pull it out and eat it when you get home.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, but it may just be, you know, and it may end up being I have 2 Hot Logics myself and I have an adapter for the car, and it may just mean putting my food in my Hot Logic when I get in the car to come home mm-hmm. since it takes me so long to get home. And then it'll be cooked when I get home. And then that's still an acceptable window for me to eat if I can eat right when I get home. I doubt I'm going to do that this week. Probably this week I'm just going to get some groceries and eat, you know, lunch.
I mean, I think if you're packing a lunch, that's already a big improvement for at least this week, you know?
And one of the things I really enjoyed was having breakfast at work and not driving through breakfast. It cut down on my commute to work and not driving through, and I was eating better food. And so that's going to be my goal this week is to have a breakfast and lunch to pack for work.
That sounds like a great goal for the week and a great goal for the next 2 weeks. And I'm excited to hear about how that TOPS meeting goes. And we, everyone, listeners, you guys, we can all look forward to your Instagram stories.
Yeah.
Your hashtag stories.
Hopefully y'all like them. Hopefully y'all like my hashtag stories.
Well, and if you don't like our hashtag stories, send us an email to positivethinpact@gmail.com. Or, of course, you can Insta message us on Instagram. I'm such an old fuddy-duddy. I don't even know how it works. Anyway, we look forward to hearing all these updates in our next episode in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I generally include the hashtags Positive Thin Pact Podcast, and Marjorie's Journey on everything I post on Instagram.
Perfect.
So, if you follow any of those hashtags, you'll get our Instagram posts.
I love that. So there you go. There's some hashtags to follow, and we look forward to following your journey some more, Marjorie.
Thank you.
Thanks for going down the rabbit hole of talking about trigger warnings with me. I think that, you know, it's dangerous territory in this modern world. So thanks for doing that.
And hopefully I did not trigger anybody. Because remember, I believe we're all doing the best we can with what we get.
I love that. Now, listeners, you all go forth and do the best with what you have on board. All right.
Yes.
Talk to you next time.